Senate Bill 22, an act to allow for additional public distribution of sex offender information.
Madam President.
Senator Whiting.
Madam President, members of the body, Senate Bill 22 deals essentially with the internet distribution, the internet publication of certain persons that are registered for committing sex offenses, and we'll get into those specific offenses in a moment. But I'd like to start out, if I could, by coming up to the front of the room and just demonstrating a couple of maps here, which I think give a pretty good indication of the problem. As you see, these are maps of Rapid City and Sioux Falls with a lot of little red or pink dots. These pink dots are indications of where sex offenders are located in these two cities. Suffice it to say that we could put up dozens of more such maps that would indicate other cities, but these are particularly graphic. To explain, in Sioux Falls, for example, over here, in Minnehaha County, there are 466 sex offenders. 351 of those live within the city limits of Sioux Falls. This map, in fact, shows only 60% of the sex offenders that are living in Sioux Falls. The map isn't totally up to date. On the other side, Rapid City, in Pennington County, we have 205 registered sex offenders. 156 of those are in Rapid City, and there are only 63 actually noted on this map. Some of you living in those areas may want to come up and have a closer look at the end of the session. And this is what we want the citizens of all of our communities to be able to do, and to do conveniently through the internet. You can put those down now. Those were just two cities within our state. A total of about 700, almost 700 registered sex offenders. In fact, in South Dakota today, there's some 1,100, nearly 1,200, 1,166, I think, is the most current figure of sex offenders, registered sex offenders, that are living within our cities and towns, and in rural areas, for that matter. Senate Bill 22 does not seek to put on the internet all of the registered sex offenders. Can we have a little order in the court here? Senator Staggers, you're far too interested in that map. At any rate, let me explain what Senate Bill 22 does. As I say, it does not seek to put on the internet all 1,166 sex offenders that we currently have registered in South Dakota. Rather, what it seeks to do is to alert our citizenry to those that are, in fact, the most dangerous. Those that have committed violent crimes, violent sexual crimes, and those that have been particularly predators against children. The Act provides that those covered by this bill would be those who have committed rape in the first or second degree. And I want to be a little more specific there, because I think that's where a lot of the question marks have arisen as regards this bill. I want to make clear that this bill would not include those who are not guilty of the violent rape of first degree or second degree. It would not include statutory rape. What is first degree rape? First degree rape in our statute is if the victim is less than 10 years of age, period. Second degree rape, there are three different situations where you would have a second degree rape. Number one is through the use of force, coercion, or threats of immediate and great bodily harm against the victim or other persons within the victim's presence. Number two would be if the victim is incapable because of physical or mental incapacity of giving consent to such act. And the third would be if the victim is incapable of giving consent because of any intoxicating, narcotic, or anesthetic agent or hypnosis. That is second degree rape. Statutory rape implies and involves consent. It is not included. Those guilty of statutory rape would not be included here. And we've got, you know, the cases that have been given to us where you've had a statutory rape situation, and the person and even the victim are living good lives thereafter. Two very important amendments have been added to this bill. One in committee would provide that the public distribution of information by the internet pursuant to Section 1 of the bill must include a recent photograph of the sex offender. Now, why this? A danger, it would seem, it would be apparent, is that we have people in this state with the same name. I mean, how many John Johnsons do we have, or you name it? How many Fred Whitings? We want to make sure, to the extent possible, that we do not have a confusion and the person who would be wrongly embarrassed by his name appearing on the internet without the picture. The second amendment is the one that you have at your desk, and that is Amendment 22TA.
Set.
And I would like to move that amendment, if I could, for purposes of discussion.
Is there a second? Discussion on the motion to amend.
And the amendment is at each of your desks. And I want to thank Senator Elmer Dietrich for this. And this is the reason that I deferred the discussion of this bill until the end of our agenda. This amendment provides that no sex offender whose sentence has been fully discharged for more than 15 years may be placed on the internet. And this addresses the situation where a person has been convicted, for example, we'll say, of second-degree rape. Not statutory rape, but second-degree rape. And they have done their time, they've served their sentence, they've gotten out, and they've led exemplary lives thereafter. The reason that sex offenses are worthy of so much attention, are worthy of publication on the internet, and are worthy of being placed on the on sex registers with the sheriff's office, is that they are typically involve a very high degree of recidivism. In fact, in the cases of rape, statistically, a rapist is 10.5 times more likely to recommit that crime than other crimes in general, and than other criminals would be inclined to commit the crimes that they've been convicted of. Recidivism is the problem. Particularly in the case of pedophiles, I think we all know the problems there. It's unfortunately virtually a lifelong problem for a person who has committed such a crime. And the same is all too true with the other sex offenses. So what we want to do here is where you have had a case and they do arise, where a person has committed such an act but is not among those who have demonstrated recidivism, that there's a time after which he or she can be taken off the registry. I would stress that this information, the information you see on the charts in front of you, the information that would appear on the internet, is already public information. It's already available if you are to go down to your sheriff's office and ask for it. What we're trying to do by this bill is, in the case of those particularly dangerous offenders, make this information as easy as possible for the people in our neighborhoods to determine whether or not they are at some risk in their neighborhoods. In fact, we already in South Dakota publish some information on the internet, such as, for example, the deadbeat dad information. And here it is, full color photographs. You can pick it up on the internet. And a misnomer, that'd be dads, we have here one woman on this particular printout. But this is readily available on the internet. Those people who haven't paid their property taxes, that's public information as well. So this really is, in a sense, pursuing the principle of public notification, but in a far, far more serious, as to far, far more serious crimes. There's some 20 states that already have internet access to this information from sex, the most violent sex offenders. Many municipalities, I've got 5 pages here of states and municipalities and counties that have websites which you can get, and which you can get this very information. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm asking you to do here today is to protect those people, the young people particularly, in your communities, among your constituents, and not only the young people, but the women of your constituencies who are at risk, as you see, from the sex offenders that are among us, by making this information readily available. Technology now enables us to do this. It's incumbent upon us to use this technology to protect our citizens. I would urge you to vote in favor of Senate Bill 22, and I would be delighted to answer any questions that might arise. Thank you.
Further remarks. Madam Chairman.
Further remarks on the waiting motion to amend. Senator Vitter.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, when I came here in 1997, I came with a full thought in mind that I would support anything that would up the penalty against rape. There's no reason, absolutely no reason on this earth for rape. We have women that it's their prerogative to say no, and there is no reason for this to happen. It never goes away. We had a discussion coming down the stairs with some senators talking about, oh, some people recover. I urge you to defeat the amendment, then go on and pass the bill. When I came down, it was on my email. I won't read the lady's name. She said, I am 50 years old, and I live with this every day, and it never goes away. See, we forget about the victim. 15 years may be a time. The man may have rebuilt his life or whatever, but it never goes away in most cases. That lady is faced with that the rest of her life. What we should do is that we should demand in our public high schools that this be recommended, that a seminar for every student be shown the penalty if you forcibly rape somebody and the consequences that you're going to pay for it. You may have to pay the rest of your life like the person that you raped has to pay the rest of their life. This is just one person. You can interview probably thousands upon hundreds of thousands of women that still live with this every day. People that married monogamously, one that they didn't want nothing but one partner the rest of their life, and then they face with a predator. Most rapists are predators. They enjoy what they do. They seek out what they do. And then they penalize the person. Then they ask you to come in here and legislate that they be forgiven. Now, we know, Christian asked, you are all is to be forgiven. But the minds of these people, they never forget what happens to them. It continues to go on and on and on. So I say, let's defeat the amendment, do the right thing, pass the bill out, and then educate everybody we can. You want to be a rapist, you're going to pay a penalty that may affect you the rest of your life.
Further remarks on the Whiting motion to amend. Senator Whiting.
Well, I would agree with Senator Vitter that that certainly rape is a heinous crime, and I wouldn't argue with that for a moment. But Senator Vitter, I would suggest that the solution that you should be seeking is perhaps harsher penalties under our laws, rather than to defeat this amendment. What this amendment in fact does is recommend that where possibly most, but not all, of rapists in this case are not recidivists. We've sentenced them to prison, they've done their time, they've come out, they successfully completed their parole, and they have paid the price. And so what we're saying is 15 years after you've paid your price, you pretty well adequately demonstrated that you are not among those recidivists. And we in this legislature, through the courts, have decided what that price is. And that price is not a life sentence. So I would suggest that they've paid their price. They've demonstrated in this probably narrow situation they're not recidivists, and they deserve to be exempted under the amendment.
Madam President.
Further remarks on the motion to amend, Senator.
I understand the law, but you tell this lady about the law. You tell her that the judges that stood and said, this is what the judicial system should do, and this is the price that they paid, and after 15 years, they should be released of it. You tell this lady, how can she release herself of this? And then work from that angle.
Further remarks.
Madam President.
Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I'd just like to stand and make a few comments about the amendment, if I may. I don't think the pain of rape would probably ever go away from a woman's life. But that's not the issue here. And as Senator Whiting said, if we wanted to do eye for eye justice, we would put a rapist in prison for the rest of his life. But that's not what we're doing here. So I think we need to look at the amendment in the light of what it does. Now, frankly, I'm not sure that I don't view these crimes differently. I happen to think that it is not impossible for even a rapist to turn his life around, to find a message greater than the one he had when he was acting the way he was at the time of the crime. But I don't know if I have that firm belief with a pedophile whose recovery rate has been proven to be about 4% on the whole, leaving me with the assumption that about 96% of convicted pedophiles will reconvict. I'm proud to say that this legislature did place a life sentence on those people convicted of pedophilia, and so that won't be an issue in the future. I would urge you to support this amendment because I believe it makes it a better bill, and then I'd urge you to truly consider the bill on its merits after the amendment. Thank you.
Further remarks.
Madam President.
Senator Dietrich.
Thank you, Madam President. Members of the Senate, the reason for the amendment was because of an actual situation where a young fellow in college was accused of rape, spent some time in the state penitentiary because of it, came out, got married, finished his college, is married and has two 15-year-old children. If you place his picture on the internet, every kid in Aberdeen, South Dakota is going to know that this good citizen at one time was a rapist. I don't think it's fair. This man would have to, told me that he would have to leave the area if you start putting pictures of him on the internet. Thank you.
Further remarks on the Whiting motion to amend.
Madam President.
Senator Bitter.
I refer back to some information that was put on our desk several days ago, and it refers to counties, and Brookings is one of them. An offender raped a 12-year-old in 1989. He was out of prison in 1991. He raped again a 10-year-old, and now he is out for the third time.
Madam President.
Further remarks, Senator Bogue.
Thank you. I move the previous question.
Question's been called. Is there a second? Those in favor of calling the question say aye. Opposed, nay. The question has been called. The question before the Senate is the Whiting motion to amend Senate Bill 22. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
The president's in doubt. Those in favor of the Whiting motion to amend, please stand. Motion has received a majority vote and the Whiting motion is passed. Further remarks on Senate Bill 22 as amended. Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of Senate Bill 22 as amended. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
APA?
Aye.
Bogue?
Aye.
Brose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHuick?
Aye.
Dennard? Dietrich Larry?
Aye.
Dietrich Elmer?
Aye.
Drake?
Aye.
Duxbury?
No.
Everest?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hagen? Hangy? Ham?
No.
Huttmacher?
Aye.
Cleven?
Aye.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Koskin?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Reedy?
Aye.
Round or Staggers?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Vitter?
Aye.
Valesky?
Aye.
Whiting? Senator Dennard? Senator Dennard? Senator Hangy? Senator Hangy? Senator Drake? No. Madam President, ayes 29, nays 3, excused 3.
Senate Bill 22 has received a majority vote of the members-elect and is declared passed as amended.